are you to help someone in need? And would it matter if that person was male or female? Would it matter if that person was young or old? Would it matter if they spoke English or didn't speak English? If they were from this country or from another country? Would it matter what clothes they're wearing or what they had with them? So I would invite you to take out your sermon notes. If you'd like to follow along with me, we are in this Advent Conspiracy sermon series. And you see what the goals are for this season. It's easy to get caught up in the ho, ho, ho and the go, 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 just like we saw, isn't it? When there's so many activities and things that have to happen, you know, preparing our houses, putting lights on, buying presents, sending cards, whatever it is, we have our lists. And sometimes we get so caught up in all the busy work that we miss out on experiencing God's coming into our lives. And so we are conspiring with other churches to do things a little differently, to focus on these four goals: to spend less, to worship fully, to give more, and to love all, hoping that this would make our Advent season a more meaningful time for us and for our loved ones. So, how many would agree that there are more takers than givers in our society? How many people would say there's more takers than givers? All right. How about this next line? Adrian loves this line. When it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. Is that a true statement? Adrian was on stewardship a number of years ago. How about this? Do you believe we spend too much money at Christmas? How many agree with that? All right. The best gifts are the most expensive? All right. You can tell a lot about someone by the gift they give. How many agree with that? Yeah. And then what about this? You should never re-gift a gift. I think it's better than throwing it away, don't you agree? Maybe. How about, can you think of one of the most memorable Christmas gifts that you received and what made that gift special? Now, I'm always amazed how God works in mysterious ways. When this sermon series was put together, you know, months ago, I selected this passage in Zephaniah. This is Joy Sunday, and this spoke about joy, but it's an interesting passage. Because when it was prophesied, it was anything but joyous for the people at the time. Society was broken. People were wondering where God was. People weren't happy. And they were struggling. And so this message was for them and, I believe, for us. And it's interesting, especially as we look at some of these scriptures. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Goes on, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Interesting, not only are the people joyous, but so is God. Goes on, verse 18, as on a day of festival, I will remove disaster from you, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise. At that time, I will bring you home. So this work, last week began, and, I'm thinking about these things. I'm thinking about what makes for a good gift, and this whole idea about giving more, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, last Monday afternoon, I received a call from my wife, Debbie. That morning was cool. It's going to be 80 degrees today. Is that what I heard? 80 degrees. Merry Christmas. Well, last Monday, it was not 80 degrees. It was cold. And Debbie got to work and got to her office. And outside her office was a young woman and a young girl, presumably her daughter. And they were sitting outside. Debbie went inside her office and noticed a few minutes later that the gal was still out there with her little daughter and invited them to come into her office waiting area. And, assuming that someone's going to pick them up or something, at least they'd be in from the cold. And when she got up, she noticed that the woman was pregnant. And the young girl looked to be about 2 or 3 years old. Well, she invited him in, and then she went back to her office to do her work. And a few minutes, about 30 minutes later, whatever, she came out and noticed the woman was still there with her daughter, but hadn't told her anything about, where the bathrooms are or anything like that. And so Debbie had to go to a meeting and asked one of her co-workers to tell her. The woman didn't speak any English, and but at least that way she would know where the restroom was while she waits for someone to pick her up. The woman, apparently, we learned this afterwards, Googled immigration lawyer. And apparently there was an immigration lawyer in this same office complex where Debbie works. And her story is one of these tragic stories, was trying to find a better place for her family and had family in Virginia and lived with them for a little while, but that fell apart and was booted out of that place. And somehow through Dallas ended up coming to Houston to this office complex, hoping to see an immigration lawyer. Saw the lawyer and got some information and some different things, but it became apparent in the afternoon that she had no place to stay. And so Debbie is telling me this, and I'm waiting for the, encouragement from my wife of how do we take the next step, and it comes. And she says, and honey, I think they should spend the night with us. She goes, you speak Spanish. And, we have a hole upstairs. No one's there. I don't know if you remember, but it was a priest or a Levite who walked on by the other side. You know the parable of the Good Samaritan? Know that story? Well, apparently that continues. I said, Debbie, honey, there's organizations that can better help her than we can. Certainly we can try to figure out how to get her into, to see some of these organizations. Well, apparently they were trying to get her in. We don't have a lot of places apparently out here in this area. Maybe the Star of Hope, which actually they have a lot more men apparently at the Star of Hope than families. And they were working on it, and it was getting late in the day. I wish I could just say, and it was out of the goodness of my heart. But I was thinking, this person was from Central America, and her country is known for having a very high murder rate, and there's drugs, and there's human trafficking, and we weren't exactly sure of her whole story. And all these things are filling my mind because Debbie said we could have her spend the night at our house. thank goodness for Samaritans and for wives who remind us we're to love everyone and especially anyone in need. So we invited mom and daughter to spend the night at our house and had a marvelous evening. Her name is Bessie, and her daughter's name is Victoria. She's 2 years old. I knew I was preaching on Give More, but certainly we're not talking about me giving more, are we? I mean, this is a busy season. There's a lot going on. The last thing we need is another variable to add to our already busy season. Who would have known outside an office complex, outside 290, where there is an immigration lawyer, a pastor's wife would have a heart for someone in the cold who has a total floor of empty bedrooms at their house, who has another pastor who speaks Spanish a little better than me, that can then help us connect this woman and daughter with people who can provide care. In fact, David worked with her. David's wife, Marianne, worked with her. They actually got her into a Catholic sister's home that was willing to provide for her through. She's 8 months pregnant. And that's where we thought it was going to end, but actually they have a friend of a cousin that she's able to be with here in the Houston area. And it worked out. I don't know how many of you were here for Marlene Girard's memorial service, but it was a beautiful service. The sermon title came from it. Thrifty but generous. Oh. Can you stop that? Thrifty but generous. In fact, her program, the bulletin, said the following. She wrote it. Let me read this to you. My heart has always been filled with love for people. I hope that is the impact that I will leave, that each of you will take a piece of that love and let it live on with you. I really feel that it is not what you gather, but what you scatter that tells what kind of life you've lived. Isn't that beautiful? I really feel that it is not what you gather, but what you scatter that tells what kind of life you've lived. Anne-Marie preached about spending less, right? This sermon is about giving more. It's not what we gather, it's what we scatter. Believing that all of us can give more. I want to end with showing you a video about someone who lives that out in his life.
We end tonight with a man who insists he's nothing special. Well, lots of people disagree. Steve Hartman met him on the road.
There is a superhero in Pittsburgh, a mild-mannered guy in a funny-looking van who goes around town striking happiness in the hearts of hundreds.
If I can go out and help people and have them experience what love is just between neighbors, like, that's sweet.
Where's 270?
29-year-old John Potter is a handyman by trade, but he doesn't charge for most of what he does.
Do you mind starting it up?
Whether it's a pizza delivery guy with no way to deliver, or an electric scooter guy with no way to scoot.
Yeah.
John is always to the rescue.
Actually, let's throw it in the back.
Like, just like a saint, pretty much. He's willing to help anybody with whatever size problem you have.
It might take me a day, honestly.
John finds his rescuees on Reddit. People who have a window broken out, or can't afford the roof they need, or maybe just want help moving. John does it all for total strangers.
That took a huge brain switch.
He started doing this 4 years ago after a woman approached him at this gas station.
And she's like, hey, can I get a ride to the battered women's shelter, or can I have money for the bus?
And your answer?
I said, no, sorry.
It was a response he regretted almost immediately.
Yeah, that haunted me right from the start.
John vowed from that day forward he would say yes to anyone who asked for help, no matter what they needed. And so far, he's done about 1,000 good deeds. Has he ever been scammed? He doesn't know. And quite frankly, he doesn't care.
I give because I want to give, and that's just for me. And if anything, I go to bed and I feel happy. Yeah, come on in.
Happy, but not wealthy.
Is the check okay?
Typically, John has just a few $100s to his name. And yet he continues to give, sometimes a lot more than just handyman services.
Would you mind carrying it to the car? After the kidney surgery, I can't lift anything.
That's right. John has now moved on to vital organs.
It's unbelievable.
Last month, Michael Moore, another total stranger, got John's kidney.
This is not fixing somebody's scooter.
No, it's an unbelievable act of kindness.
Michael says the best gift ever, but not only for the obvious reason.
Because you find out that there's other people in the world that care. And that's a strong message.
So many of you know that last month my mom had a stroke, a little stroke. And so I wanted to get out and see her. And so on Thursday through yesterday, I went out and saw my mom. And she's actually doing a little better. The doctor believes it's early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's and trying to figure all that out. But even from Thursday to Saturday, she was speaking better and very frustrated that she can't communicate like she used to. But it was a nice time to be together. Ooh. So I'm at breakfast yesterday and getting ready to say my goodbyes. And the way that her assisted living center works is people can stay at any table that they want to eat, and then you just go up and join them. And so that's what we did. And it happened to be my mom, my sister, and myself, and this other woman whose name is Cass. And it just so happens that my sister's daughter's name is Cassie, so that was just kind of a fun little connection. And Cass mentioned to me how sweet it is that I came to visit my mom because sometimes it's lonely at the assisted living center. And I could hear in her voice the sadness of being alone. So I'm saying my I love yous before I, you know, drive off and get back on the plane. And I go, Mom, I love you. And I give her a hug. And I had a little tear in my eye then, too. Hug my sister. Then I went over to Cass and I said, Cass, and I love you, too. I believe we all can give more. How about you? Will you pray with me? Lord, sometimes we get it, sometimes we miss it. Help us to give more. In your name, amen. Our affirmation of faith is a little different one. And I would invite you to stand and let us affirm these things. together. I believe that Christmas is more than a time for parties and ornaments. It is a time for remembering Christ and the incarnation of God's love in human flesh. I believe there are gifts more important than the ones under the Christmas tree, the things we teach our children, the way we share ourselves with friends, and the work with which we set about reshaping the world in our time. I believe that the finest carols are often sung by the poorest voices, from hearts made warm by the wonder of the season. I believe in the angel's message that we should not be afraid, that the child of Bethlehem is able to overcome all anxieties and insecurities. I believe in prayer and quietness as a way of appropriating Christmas, that if I wait in silence, I will experience the presence of the one born in the manger, for he lives today as surely as he lived then. I believe in going away from Christmas as the wise men went, another way. I want to be different when these days are past, more centered, more thoughtful, more caring. And I believe God will help me. Amen. Please be seated. So during Advent, the preachers have been sharing about a tradition that we have in our own home during the Advent season that is special to us. And one started as a result of our son Jared. Instead of buying a gift, he started to do a tradition of writing a just one-page note as a gift. And I have to tell you, some of those are the most precious gifts I've ever received, my wife has ever received, because in it you sense the love and the joy and the relationship and the care that is given. Yes, we can give with our time and talents and treasure, and we can also give with our presence and with our the way that we treat one another. How has God blessed you to bless someone else this Advent season? God bless you as you give your morning tithes and offering.
As we prepare for the birth of your son, we share our tithes and offerings with the joy and excitement that is common as one anticipates the birth of a new child. Bless these gifts in your holy name. Amen.
So maybe you will have an opportunity to meet another daughter of Zion. Maybe someone who's outcast from society. And maybe you can bring them joy and you can bring them home and remind them that God is in our midst. And as you do, may God's grace, may God's joy and peace be with you now and evermore, and all God's children said.